I've been preaching 59 years. I've said it two or three times, but anyway, I go in some churches that back in so I can make a fast getaway, you know, at the last amen. We pulled in head first this morning because the handshaking, the friendliness, there's a good spirit here today, and it's a blessing to be in his pulpit and tell about what God is doing in Thailand and Mongolia, and I'm just excited what God's doing in this church right here. He made a statement while ago, but a missionary, you don't have to go overseas. You can be a missionary right here in this church right here. The mission field of the world really is the United States of America right now. I mean, that's a wicked country, it really is. But let me say right now, you can be a missionary, just be a greeter or somebody here at the church. You don't have to go off to seminary or anything. Just wherever God wants to use you, he can use you. I made the statement in Sunday school too this morning that, you know, I'm not anti-education, I'm not. I understand what I'm saying right now. I had rather fellowship with somebody that knows the author of the Bible than some of these Bible scholars, brother. I was ordained December the 6th, 1961. Dr. Lee Robertson, founder and director of Tennessee Temple, 9 college professors. When they ordained me that night, I looked at some of them and I thought, I wonder how many of them has ever shed a tear over a lost soul. Boy, they had all the education you could want and the Bible. And so I'd rather be around somebody. For the first week I was saved, I bought my Bible this long, that wide, that thick. I thought the bigger Bible you bought, the closer to God you was. I'd go to church carrying that Bible like that. But I was preaching on the streets at Main and Market Street in Chattanooga for 2 weeks. I'm gonna tell how my life was really. Before I was saved, I didn't like black people. I did not. There was a black man preaching on the street one time. I was guilty of this. I look back at it and it's bad. I cursed him in his face. I said, if you want to preach, get you a church. Get off the street here. And when I was saved, God got a hold of my heart. The first time I preached, I stood right where that black man had been preaching. And boy, God said, you do what I tell you to do, and I'll bless you. Anyway, I preached for 2 weeks in this one place at Maiden Market Street. And I'm short, I'm 5'6", but here was a big black man, about 6'6". And he come up to me and he said, there's a lady down here, says, she's been listening to you preach, and says she wanted you to come see her, and she wants to talk with you. And I said, well, you go with me. I don't know. I don't go in women's houses unless their husband or somebody's with me, but we'll go see what she wants. And so we go there, knocked on the door. She said, who's that there? And this man says, I brought the preacher to you. You told me to bring him to you, so I go in. He opened the door. There was a woman, bedfast. I bet she weighed about 95 pounds. I mean, she was just bedfast. And she said, preacher, I've been listening to you preach, and I asked this man to bring you down here, and I know you was talking about Jesus, and you was talking about the book of John, and oh, and I just wanted to have a live preacher come here and talk with me. She said, would you read the Bible to me some? And boy, I said, I sure will. I started in the book of John. I read 4 or 5 chapters. And boy, she says, you know, preacher says, I can't read or write. If I saw my name written on some paper, I wouldn't say it. And I didn't know it was me. But she says, you know, I love Jesus Christ. And I just thank the Lord that he come into my heart and saved me. And she said, I can't read or write, but would you come back and read the Bible to me some more in the future? I said, I sure will. Every chance I get, I'll be here with you. But you know what? She said, let me do something now. I want to pray for you. Boy, I bent over that bed, that little old skinny black hand. She put it on my forehead. And I'll tell you what, you may not agree with me, but I felt electricity go through my body. Boy, she had a touch on God like I have never felt anybody pray for my life. And you know, I'd go there every time we now down south, we call it on the mountaintop or in the valley. You might do it here, but every time I'd get in the valley, I'd go, boy, and I'd say, pray for me. That lady, little skinny lady, couldn't read or write her name, could get a hold of God in prayer like nobody I have ever known. I've done a lot of, I don't believe in women preachers now, and I don't believe in women pastors, but there's some places I read, like the fourth chapter of John, when Jesus met the Samaritan woman at the well. Boy, what did she do? She ran into town. Come and see a man that's told me everything about my life. Was she an evangelist then or what? What was her title? So she's, it's between, I can't believe in women preaching. I just can't do it, but I don't think any woman to go to hell for preaching. I really can't accept that. I cannot. And so when I was searching God's will for my life, I met this woman up in the mountains of Mexico, and she is pastoring a church. And, you know, I had to let her know how educated I was. And, boy, I said, you mean you're a woman up here trying to pastor a church? And that's a man's job. She said, well, I'll tell you what. So if a man comes here and relieves me and takes my place, I'll move to the side. Jesus says that in Christ there's neither male nor female. And so I'm not, I'm going back. I don't want to get mixed up all this. Sometimes you get into something you don't want to talk about anyway. But anyway, Jesus is coming very soon. He is. When I was first saved, boy, ignorant. I had not been inside of a church in 4 years. Boy, whenever I was saved, God got a hold of my heart. And before now, I don't know why God or how he worked his way. I was not saved. I'll tell more about it, being in South Korea, lost as a goose. And I wanted to be a missionary in Thailand. Not Thailand, but in South Korea. And anyway, when I was saved, I thought, well, I want to be a missionary. And after I was saved, it says, I hadn't been to college or anything, and I don't know what to do about this. And I told my wife, I said, God wants me to be a missionary. And said, I read also in the Bible where God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if I'm going to be a missionary, that's what I want to do. And so I picked up my Bible, and now my wife, my mother and daddy, and my daddy-in-law and mother-in-law, they said, you need to go see a psychiatrist, what you need to do. And so, but God blesses ignorance. And so I got that big old Bible I had, and my wife says, where are you going now? What are you going to do now? I said, I'm going to all the world. She said, how are you going to do that? I said, you take me out here on Interstate Lee Highway. I'm going to just start going into all the world. I'm trusting God now. I'm going to obey him. And I'd start hitchhiking. And now, of course, you don't do that way. But I would sleep in cemeteries at night. I've used tombstones for pillows. And I slept out in empty houses and cornfields and get up when the sun come up. And I'd go back to hitchhiking. But God blesses ignorance. Because there was a lot of people got saved. But still, that's not going at all in the world like you should do. But anyway, if I did it now, you know, I would not ordain. I would not support a missionary that was not sent by a local New Testament church. Because that's how you go into all the world. And so, if I had been educated on how to be a missionary, then I wouldn't have done like I did, because if you go into war, you're going to combat, make sure you've got the welcomes to take with you. If I had done this later, preparing to go into all the world, I'd at least took a change of underwear with me. The third day it gets rough, church, I'll tell you. I'll do like the Bible teaches us to do. So I'm glad I'm a Christian. I have a good time going to heaven. I was in Malaysia going to Singapore one time, and there's two missionaries. We was going in a car, and there was two missionaries. Oh, I believe if they smiled or told a joke, their face would have cracked and fell off his head. Anyway, I said, boy, these are two deadheads right here, and me going to Malaysia, to Singapore with them. And I said, I'm going to tell the joke. So I told the joke, and one of the missionaries said, brother, I just can't read nowhere in the Bible where Jesus ever told jokes or anything. And I said, yeah, too, I read the Bible and I can't find where Jesus got in a car and went to Malaysia, Singapore, even before here. So Jesus said he'd come to give us life, that we might have life more abundantly. I'm going to have a good time on my way to heaven. Boy, I tell you. Now, when I first started on deputation, I went to a church. I told a joke. The deacon says, well, now, we think it's a good thing that God's called you to do this, but says, we don't want to support a missionary that tells jokes from the pulpit. And I said, I won't tell no more jokes. So the next week, I went to a church, didn't tell a joke. They said, well, we'd like to support a missionary that's got some humor. I said, what'd I do? Now, this is true. I said, I don't know if I'm going to tell a joke or not. And I did some research. So it takes a lot of churches like a joke a lot better than someone that don't like them. But anyway, I started telling jokes, and anyway, let me tell my joke, and I'll get into the sermon. One time, I'll get into the joke, and one time there's three preachers, they played 18-hole golf game, and they come, they sit around, and they're at a table, you know, like, and they're smoking their cigarettes and chewing tobacco. Some of them do that. Anyway, they said, listen, says, let's talk a little bit what we think our church thinks about us and what's a good thing we like about being a preacher. And let's just tell what we think that we would like to, if it was possible, to be over the casket and hear what they are saying about us if it was possible. And I said, John, what do you think you'd like to hear if you was standing over the casket? What is it you'd like to lay there to hear what they're saying about you? He said, well, I'd like to hear somebody say, boy, he was a good father. He loved his family. They went to church and Sunday school every week and says, I love my wife and children so much, and I'd like to hear them stand over the casket and say, that was my husband, and that's my wife. After not my wife, that's my husband and my children talking about me, and boy, it would be good if I could hear them say that. Okay, George, what do you want to say about, they'd say over your casket? And he said, well, I'd like to hear him say, boy, that was a good pastor right there. And says, boy, we won't never find nobody to take his place laying in that casket right now. He's one of the best pastors that a church could ever have. He said, I'd love to hear somebody say that. And they said, Jimmy, what would you like to hear somebody say when they're standing over your casket? He said, well, I'd like to be laying there and hear somebody say, look, I saw his arm move. I'd like to be like him. I'm going to heaven, but I'd like to get on that last caboose on the last train. There's so much to tell. I could sit here 2 days telling things, but... When I was first saved, I didn't believe in taking notes or anything. I thought, you know, I believed like this is open your mouth, you get in the pulpit, and God will tell you the words to say. First time I was asked to preach, I got in the pulpit, and I had that belief. I said, now the Lord's going to give me what to say in this when I get up in the pulpit. And I got in the pulpit, and I read a verse, and I had a sermon that I had gotten ready for 45 minutes, and whenever I got a hold of my sermon, I lasted 2 minutes. And so I said, well, I got a friend now that believes like, man, I'm going to go hear him preach, and maybe I can get some advice from him about this studying and not studying that God had given me the word to say. So I go over, got on the front pew, and he stood in the pulpit, and he read a verse of scripture, and I was listening, and he read it the second time, and what's he going to say? Then he read it the third time. He jumped out of the pulpit here and right around at a circle and jumped up on the platform. He said, God ain't give it to me yet, but I'll get it in a minute. So I read, studied to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So I found out, you get the word of God, and I have found out when you get in the pulpit, have something to say. And so God would give you the same, but prepare in advance the things that God might want you to say. But anyway, go ahead and serve God ever how he calls us to do like this. So now what I'm going to do today in Luke the 17th chapter, the 10 lepers that went to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've worked with lepers now for 30 years, and I don't have my notes. I don't have an outline. I'm just going to make some statements here as we read these verses in Luke the 17th chapter concerning how God used these 10 lepers and how God wants to use every one of us in this service today. And I'd like to think about going and as we serve God, I'm going to talk about a man that went beyond the call of duty. Now, I'm not talking about being saved to start off with. We're all saved one way. Repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. Not even being a Baptist. Not going to take us to heaven as much as I'm going to die being a Baptist. But the Baptist church, there's no salvation there whatsoever. But I want to talk about going beyond the call of duty. God has rewards for people that are saved, but still not going beyond the call of duty. And we're going to see how God used this one leper out of 10 and what God did for this one leper. And let's look at verse 11 of Luke the 17th chapter. And I'm going to make comments on one verse at a time as we go through it. And a lot of people say, how is leprosy compared to being a lost man and getting saved? Well, we'll see if we can find it here in Luke the 17th chapter, verse 11. It says, and it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and sent into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, these lepers is a type of sin. They stood afar off from the Lord Jesus Christ because sin cannot go into the presence of a righteous God. And then verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For if the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And right here in verse 13, they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When I was saved in May of 1958, I had not been in a church in 4 years. I told my wife we planned on going to church. If I accidentally get saved, ain't nobody going to know it. This will be between you and me and God. And I said, if I do get saved now, don't you tell nobody. And that night I said, as far back away from the pulpit as I could get from that preacher, he preached on hell and he preached on John 3:16. Boy, the Holy Spirit got a hold of my heart. That preacher gave that invitation, and a team of mules that kept me from going forward. Boy, I went down to that altar. Now, before I was saved, I used to go to church. I'd go to church in high school. What, man, my wife knows about this. I'd go to church and stand outside and walk the girls home after church. And so I was these churches. They'd come out there and get you by the arm, and here'd go 10 or 11 or 12 pulling you to the altar. And so I was outside one night, and here they come. They got me by the arm, and boy, they pulled me down to the altar, and there was about 10 people fell on top of me, and one of them said, just pray through. Some of them, just have faith now. Now, do you feel like you're saved yet? And there was one man, I don't think he took a bath under his arms for 2 weeks. It was terrible. I said, man, I can't stand this. I got to get up. And I said, Lord or no Lord, I got to get some air. and so that's when I went 4 years without going to church then. They come to get me to baptize me the next week, and I hid down in the woods, and they'd go, pip, pip, we come to baptize you. And I didn't answer them. I wouldn't come out of those woods for a long time. But anyway, this man, when I went to the altar that night, boy, he opened the Bible, gave me the plan of salvation. They lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I cried out to God that night when the Lord saved me. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. It came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. I've heard some preachers preach about these lepers here, that they got to the priest and they did all the rituals and everything, and they did all this. No, but the Bible says as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. He turned back. You only turn back before you get to a destination. If they'd got to the priest, it would say that he went back. But he turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. When I told my wife, If I accidentally get saved, ain't nobody going to know it. Boy, that night I went home and I called aunts, uncles, nephews, cousins, relatives. I called the people I work with. Ain't going to tell no more dirty jokes over with you no more. Boy, I've been saved. I'm going to heaven right now. And the thing about it, my mouth ain't shut up since that night started. Boy, when I met Jesus Christ in May of 1958, and he never leaves my mind, he doesn't leave my heart. He's with me 24 hours a day just praising God and thanking Jesus for what he did for him at Calvary. And one of them, when he saw that it was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, "You can't." When you meet Jesus Christ, you cannot keep your mouth shut about what he's done for you. And one of them, when he saw, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. There's one thing that's lacking in churches nowadays, humility. Boy, this leper fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, thanking God for this. Now, I don't like to hear preachers always saying, "You and you and you ought to do this." I'm including myself. When is the last time that we have left some tears at the altar for a lost soul? I mean, really pouring our heart out to God in prayer. There's a book, Pray and Hide. I don't know, a true book. I read it. Pray and Hide prayed himself to death. He agonized in prayer so much, he had to go to the doctor. The doctor said, "Mr. Hyde, you've got to stop praying as hard as you do. It's hurting your heart." Praying Hyde died on his knees, praying, prayed himself to death. And we usually go to bed at night and say, "Lord, save John and Mary if they're lost. And Lord, they need to get saved. Go to heaven in Jesus' name. Amen." And that's it. But boy, let me see in Romans 15:30. Let me see right here. Romans, the 15th chapter, about agonizing in prayer. We'll get it here. It's in the New Testament. I know it. Romans 15:30. I'll read this one verse. "I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers for me." Strive it in prayer. Church, too, if you want to have God's blessing, be a cheerful giver. I just got to think about this. You cannot outgive God. This missionary, this leper here, he gave everything he had to Jesus Christ. About 6 or 7 months ago, talking about you can't outgive God. Now, everybody should tithe. Wherever your church member is, that's where your tithes should go. Don't send it off to a missionary, but put it in the church where your membership is. Anyway, I got a letter one time in the mail about 6 or 7 months ago, and I took out a check for $100. "Brother Tillman, don't you use this in a ministry. Don't you send it off to Thailand or Mongolia. If you use it in a ministry, send it back to me. I want you to take this $100 bill and buy something for you personally. And just don't send it back." And boy, I had that $100 bill. Boy, I went to Walmart. Boy, I went sashaying up and down those aisles. Boy, I said, "I've got a $100 bill, and I don't have to share it with nobody. I'm not going to send it to mission, but I'm going to find me something here at Walmart that I want to buy for me." And I passed these three people on the aisle. One was an old lady pushing another lady and a man. And I heard them say, "We don't have enough money to buy the food that we need. We need some food, but I don't have enough money to get it." And here comes that Holy Spirit. "Well, what you going to do, Tommy?" I said, "Lord, I'm going to buy me something." I went 2 or 3 aisles down. Holy Spirit, "Tommy? Lord, is that you talking to me? There's a lot of Tommies, I tell you." He said, "You know what you should do with that $100? Here I turn around and go back. And I said, "Y'all need more food?" "Yeah, we need more food. We don't have the money." I took out that $100 bill and handed it to them. Boy, you talk about the revival, praising the Lord. Boy, I'll tell you. And so I went home without buying what I wanted to buy. I tried to obey the Holy Spirit. Here's a miracle of that. 5 weeks later, not 5 weeks, but 2 weeks later, I got a letter from an Orthodox Jew. Now, this is a miracle, even a Jew doing this. An Orthodox Jew sent me a letter with a check for $500. Tommy, use this for whatever you want to use it for. Don't use it for the ministry. You cannot outgive God. You just can't do it. Boy, no, he take care of everything. I'm not going to get carried away now on another subject like that, the things that's happened to the ministry. Let me tell this, though, about we got two anti-abortion clinics in Mongolia. Got four doctors on our staff. We had a building that we could get for $50,000. And if you want that anti-abortion clinic, this building here, you got to have a building for the ladies to come in to what they come there for. And so you got the building, but I just didn't have the money. And these other four doctors, they said, we don't have this kind of money. Boy, that's a lot of money if we just can't buy that building. Let's pray about it. So we started praying for $50,000. This is just December before last is when this happened. Started praying for $50,000. That same week we started praying, a man that did not know that we were praying, God didn't answer that prayer. I'll say that God did not answer that prayer for $50,000. But we started praying for it. I got a letter from a man. Says, use this for what God has laid on your heart to do. Take it and use it for whatever God is speaking to your heart about. Got a check for $53,000. Hallelujah. God has, I don't ever talk to a pastor about how much money you're going to give me to come and be with you. I don't say how big is your church, and I don't talk about, boy, how little is your church? If it's a small church, I can't go be with you. I don't do that. When I get a call, God opens the doors like your pastor called me. It's none of my business what they give me. God knows what I'm going to get. I preached to Curtis Hudson at his church one time. If you know who he is, remember him. And so there was about 1,000 people there. They gave me a check for $100. I didn't say a word. God takes care of us. I know pastors have to preach on tithing and money and all, but I have never yet preached a sermon on giving. God takes care of everything. Anyway, I preached the next week in Leeds, Alabama. Three people came to the service. The pastor called and said, Brother Thomas says, I've got the flu. Y'all go ahead and have a meeting there with three people. And I preached at the three like I did the 1,000. And whenever I walked out the door, they handed me a check for $2,000. That's the truth, man. Money, God takes care of us. God takes, I don't worry. I don't talk about money. God owns, he owns the cattle on 10,000 hills. The gold and silver's his. I was on the radio one time for 2 years, and I said, Dear God, on the radio, I'm not going to ask nobody to send me money. I'll be here as long as you want me to be, because you'll send the money. After 2 years, the money stopped coming in, so I got off the radio. Well, anyway, if God is in it, he takes care of the finances. He takes care of everything. All right, let's go back over here to verse 50. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face and his feet, giving him thanks that he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Isn't it sort of church-wise right now? I would dare say there's a lot of people that profess to get saved sometime, but they won't come back to be baptized, or they won't join the church. Now, I can get about a profession of faith just about every day. You can find somebody that'll pray a sinner's prayer with you. But yet, now the lepers in Thailand, we used to have them say they got saved when they didn't. Boy, they just want a free place to live and food. And I found out, though, no leper can come and live with us till they go and deny Buddha. Now, if he do that, you can say they're really a Christian. There are two things they'll put you in jail for in Thailand. They're saying something about the king, or either you say something about Buddha. Boy, you go to jail for that. But anyway, it's real if they go and deny Buddha at the Buddhist temple. Anyway, and Jesus said, where are the nine cleansed? But where are the nine? Where did the other nine go to? Like some of these people that prayed to get saved, but you never see them again. They're not found that return to give glory to God, save the strangers. Look at verse 19, and he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. Now there is a difference in being cleansed and being made whole. And because this man went back to Jesus, 1 out of 10, God, he went beyond the call of duty. God had a blessing for him. It's something he didn't do for the other nine. Now, I'm not talking about now losing your salvation or anything like this. Let me finish with this. I feel good. I could preach to midnight tonight. Now, before I was saved, and if you say that, I still fuss. Now, I'm going to be, if you're married, I don't care how much of a Christian you are, you're going to fuss sometimes, you and your wife. So, you say you and your wife have arguments and fuss? Yeah, but I get behind closed doors to do it. Before I was saved, the neighbors say, who won that fuss last night? We could hear you up and down the street. But we're in it. I wasn't saved now when this happened, but we had one of these great big arguments. Boy, we had a fuss like you ain't never heard or heard. And so I said, I'm sick and tired of you. I'm going to get away from you. I'm going to go join the army. She says, I dare you. I jumped out of the frying pan into the fire. Boy, they put me in the infantry. They sent me to South Korea. You men that's been in the service know what a pup tent is. I slept in a pup tent for 15 months in the mountains of South Korea. There was not a day that I did not write my wife a letter. Whole time I was out, honey, I am sorry about that fuss we had. I'll never fuss with you again. Forgive me. If I see you again, you just won the argument. Just forget it. Go ahead. You won the arguments. P.S., can you get me out of the army? I'd get answers. You asked for it, Buster. You stay there. You deserve to suffer. You stay there this whole time. I don't want to see you till you come home again. So I said, I'm going to fix her. Now, you won't ever see me go to church if I don't have a long sleeve shirt on or a coat. I got me a Tokyo Rose tattooed here. I got the marks of sin on my body. That didn't stop me from getting saved. But I am not made whole yet. This old leper I'm preaching about right now, he was made whole. He did something that the other nine didn't do. So Jesus did something for him. Now, God's looking for Christians that's going to heaven. Their name's in the book of life. But the Lord is looking for people that will go beyond the call of duty for service. Not, you're already saved, but he wants you to go a little further concerning telling people about Jesus. And I'll tell you what, God will bless you. Be a missionary here in this church. You don't have to get on a plane, go overseas. Anywhere God puts you, just do what he speaks to you about. Obey the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Now, church, I give, there's a good spirit in this. God has given you a good church. God's given you a good pastor. God's even given you some good deacons. And so, whatever God has given us to do, let's do it together. Keep teaching Sunday school. Young people, keep coming to church. Keep coming to Sunday school. Give your heart and life to God. God wants to use you no matter where it is. And so, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray. God knows your heart. After I pray, let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you about anything, just obey it. Father, thank you for the blessing to be here today. Thank you for the freedom that you've given me, dear God. Lord, right now I ask each individual, what does God want you to do? And then obey the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's somebody here that's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. May the Holy Spirit be speaking to that heart right now. And dear God, there might be something, have something in the life here. They're saved, but there's something they need to get straight with God. No matter what you're speaking to our hearts about, Father, let us say yes, Lord. And then obey the Holy Spirit, dear God. And Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for Calvary. In Jesus' name we all pray together. Amen.